Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you. what manner of love have the Father have lavished on us. Oh, my God, you love me too much. Oh, Jesus loves us. And, you know, I began to think about how that those firemen on 9/11 walked into burning buildings, crumbling buildings, but they went in. Jesus, knowing the death of the cross, he went in for you and I. What a love that the Father bestowed upon us. And Jesus so loved us that he went to the cross to die for you and I. Oh, my God, we love Jesus. We love you so much. Oh, my God, excessive love. And that's the kind of love that we need to have for one another, the same love that Jesus has for us. And for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And his Son so loved us that he gave his life. And we thank God tonight. Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited you have tuned in tonight. And we want to first, before we do anything, we want to give a moment of silence for all those who died on 9/11/2001, and those who died even afterwards from the results of the chemicals in the air. Moment of silence, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for his mercy and his grace, and thank God for everything that's going on. We are Assistant Pastors, Elijah Wood, Christian Tabernacle, International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our co-founder is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, our senior pastor is Bishop Kevin J. Jones, and we thank God that we are located at 583 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia, and we are blessed to be, amen, have a mandate on our lives and light of the world, that we would see this world without darkness in the name of Jesus. And how we do that is one soul at a time. Amen. We have services. We welcome you to join us in service. YouTube, our website, and our Instagram, comingtothelight.org is our website. Check us out every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have our worship service. We have Sunday school, Elevating Faith, at 9 a.m. We are in the building, and we are on virtual. So you can enjoy us wherever you are. And if you're in the Atlanta area, please come and see us. We also have a Bible study noonday on Wednesday. And then we have Bible study again at 7 p.m. And God is really moving in our lives. Amen. We are trusting the transition because change is must. Hallelujah. And we thank God for everything that he's doing with us and through us. And we thank God for everything that's going on. Amen. In spite of what's going on, God is still on the throne. God still reigns. He reigns supreme. And we thank God for the love that God has restored upon us. Amen. You know, when you think about the love of God, have you ever just think about how much Jesus loves you so much that you just have to say, oh, you can't even say words. He just said, he loves me so much. So we thank God for tonight. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for, amen, being able to bring this broadcast to you and especially you. Thank God for all of you who are faithful listeners, amen, down through these 11 years. Amen. We thank God for you, especially you. And tonight we have a special guest, amen, who's here every other second Saturday night, amen, none other than the half part of the dynamic duo, amen, Batman and Robin, I called him last week. So we thank God for Elder Michelle Ford, amen, and we're going to bring her live, and she will let you know who she is, amen, her and her family, and what God has for us tonight.
Amen.
Elder Ford.
Amen, amen. Good evening, Pastor Stephen and Ann. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for bringing me in.
My husband and I just thank God for the two of you and all the work that you all do. You all have such an amazing vision for the work of Christ, and you toil endlessly in order to bring the gospel to people, and all because You just want them to know who Christ is and how wonderful he is. And we thank God for you. We thank God for the work that you do. You never stop, and we are in awe of how you continue to move. We are truly in awe. We love you both, and we thank you for all that. Thank you so much. And so on that note, I'm going to go ahead and jump right in and get started with this word this evening. And I'm going to ask, as I always do, that we begin with you repeating after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth.
The Word of God is truth.
And truth can never be a lie.
And truth can never be a lie.
So whatever God says, it must come to pass.
Must come to pass.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that.
And
so
tonight
I am going to be coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. Again, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this evening. And it reads as follows. For as many are the promises of God, in Christ they are all answered, yes. So through him we say our amen to the glory of God. Now it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and who has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Spirit. It is he who has also put his seal on us. That is, he has appropriated us and certified us as his, and has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, like a security deposit, to guarantee the fulfillment of his promise of eternal life. But I call on my soul's witness that it was to spare you pain and discouragement that I did not come again to Corinth, verse 24. Not that we rule like dictators over your faith, but rather we work with you for the increase of your joy. For in your faith you stand firm in your strong conviction that Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, is the Son of God, through whom we obtain eternal salvation. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So now, people in Radio Land, I ask that you bow your heads and pray with me. Most good and gracious God, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together again once more at this appointed time that we may once again hear your precious word. We thank you for being here in the midst of us and for always hearing our prayers. Thank you for accepting us in our brokenness and our flaws and all, and for loving us despite who we are. Help us to always keep you in the forefront of our mind, to keep our mind stayed on thee. We ask that you help those who are troubled right now, those who may be struggling in their faith, or those who may be grieving the loss of a loved one. Remind them that in everything that we must endure, you are there with them. We ask a special blessing for our leaders, Bishop Kevin and Bishop Ruth, as they labor in the vineyard, ministering to your people. We ask, Lord, that you, in this moment, in this time, that you cover me, Lord, your servant, in this hour, as I bring a word to edify your people. Help me, Lord, to touch their minds, touch their hearts, that they may receive what they need in order to sustain their spiritual walk here on earth. Thank you again, Lord, for it all. We lift your name on high, high above the heavens, and give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Evening, saints of God, I would like to speak to you on the topic, are you in or are you out? Again, are you in or are you out? The rich and famous have always fascinated us. The names of Rockefeller or Hearst or Hilton are the rich who have long been connected to high society. Because of their reputation of having such a lavish lifestyle, everyone wanted to be in contact with them. People would want to travel with them, vacation with them, socialize with them, and even, if they could, just dine with them. Many people wanted to live like them, and sometimes even wanting to be like them. But ultimately, they would just settle for the mere opportunity to be in their presence. It's actually the same with the hip-hop celebrities of today. Our young people admire the contrived lifestyles of artists, their homes, their clothes, their cars, etc. They hunt them down on social media in order to find out where they go, where are they locally, just so that they can be in their presence, show that they are associated or connected to them in some way. They take pictures with them in the background. They post them on Instagram, trying to create an image that they are in. Over time, belonging to this group with a lavish lifestyle or connecting or obtaining this sort of status would actually imply that you are in an elite group. So now that you have this membership, because you've posted and put all this information out there, or you've just been around in the area or restaurants or even the clubs that they hang out with, it enables you to hold your nose high in the air and begin to boast somewhat to others that I'm in and you're not. Now, over the course of history, this same sense of group of entitlement had really developed from a set of standards that the world or society actually created or set as qualifiers. And it was these qualifiers that would establish a person as being a part of this upper echelon or elite or upper crust society group. This class system has created lines of the haves and the have-nots, and also alienates a substantial number of people that even live in across the country. It is a system that extends well back into history, across culture lines, and it's something that still exists even today. What is even more fascinating is that it even exists among kids in the schools. That notion of being on the inside or in the inside group, and then there's the outside group, permeates the social dynamic, and it influences the behavior of young people. It influences them so much that it influences how they dress, who they befriend, and even whether or not they have interaction with drugs. It all shows up in the form of some sort of peer pressure. This emotional impact has such an attack on our psyche that the results show up in many ways from childhood even up into adulthood. It shows up in family dynamics, in relationships, and even in interpersonal actions in the workplace and even, brothers and sisters, in the church. As Christians, we too belong to a family that is elitist. So think about this now for a moment. We are just as rich as the Rockefellers, the Hearst family, and the Hilton family, right? Our family name, the name of Christian, famous throughout generations. We have good standing in the community. Well, most of us do. And when we hear of our family name, or when people hear of our family name of Christian, most times they recognize that because of who our Father is, God the Father, right, they recognize that we carry a lot of influence as well. So because of this, what can happen over time, if we aren't careful, many of us can adopt the characteristics of exclusivity, which means that we have developed the notion that we have the right to have or to do something that is only limited to a certain people or a certain group of people because of our connection to someone or our relationship to a family. We have positioned ourselves in such a way that we begin to have an air about us if we're not careful. We can then begin to walk a certain way and talk a certain way, and it begins to send the message out into the world that I'm in and you're out. And the dynamic inwardly also qualifying other questions to those around them by saying, so what about you? Are you in or are you out? A spirit of exclusivity makes us feel like we must belong. There's an urge like we must strive or work to be a part of something. Sometimes that sense of wanting to belong is so very strong, and that some people will do whatever it takes, whatever they can, to just be able to say, I'm in with them. Sometimes it's a good thing, right? And when you think about the kingdom of God, if that's a good thing. We want to be able to say, I'm in. I belong in the kingdom of God. But now, as far as the bad way, right, exclusivity can also show itself up in a way of what I call right-way-itis. Now, I know you're asking yourself, what exactly does that mean? Okay, so what I mean by right-way-itis is when you believe that your way is the right way and the only way, right? Husband and wives experience this all the time. They each have an exclusive way of thinking. And then it becomes about the me and not the we. It's my way or the highway syndrome, right? But we work very hard, those of us that are committed to who we are in our love and our relationship with our spouses, that we work very hard to remain in the we and not think so much about the exclusivity of the me. Because also, when we create the condition of exclusivity in the wrong way, we actually, of course, look at ourselves as being included, but we ultimately end up excluding other people. And that question then goes out very firmly to those around you. Are you in or are you out? Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul had to defend his own apostolic credentials to establish that he was in, that he had credibility to call himself Christian, to show the people that he is one of them. And at the end of the day, there are false apostles, the false apostles' credentials in that story, and Paul's credentials were like comparing a college diploma and a certificate, right? Paul came qualified. He had an accredited college diploma. He had all that he needed to be able to stand firm in his representation of who he was for God. But those false prophets could not exhibit the same. So we have to ask ourselves, when we are looking at the family that we live in as Christians, right? How do we know? How do we know who's in and how do we know who's out? Right? But we have to ask ourselves, when we come across people What is their ulterior motive? What is their intention? Is it to gain fame or fortune? Or is it to gain status or recognition? Or is it to control or manipulate people for their own personal gratification? So let's go to the text. So as I think about this scripture and meditated for weeks on this scripture, I believe that there are three things that we should consider and always be aware of. And they are the inner circle, the outer circle, and expanding the circle. Again, the inner circle, the outer circle, and expanding the circle. Let's look at the inner circle, right? The term inner circle, when used in a worldly sense, usually refers to a group of people who have a particular status, right? We talked about that before, right? They are a small, intimate, and often influential group of people. They are usually selected, and they've been acknowledged or established, usually because of their riches and their fame. It's an exclusive club, one which is just like we established with the rich and famous before, there's an exclusive membership. So as we look at verse 21 in the Word, it reads, "Now it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and who has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Spirit." So brothers and sisters, this is the qualifier for us to be in the inner circle. It sets the parameters and the guidelines for what it takes to obtain membership. So once we have been established and confirmed by God with Christ, we become a part of the inner circle. As Christians, we are now in that inner circle, and then we become also entitled to a membership that has rights and privileges. Now, what an amazing thing to know that we have been established and confirmed by God. That's what the Word says. It's God who establishes and confirms us. So it is beautiful to know that we are established and confirmed by God. I think of it or align it in a way such as having an American Express card, right? You have the rights and the privileges that come along with being a card-carrying member. You have status, you get the upgrade, you have travel perks, and you have an unlimited credit use. That's amazing, right? That is also the way it is for us when we have been established and confirmed by God. As Christians who are in this inner circle, right, we lean into these guidelines. So we know how we are to live, we know what the standard is, and we ultimately actually need to be able to create the nature around us so that others want to be curious about how to be invited into it. How can I be a member of the inner circle? I want to be in. And they want this because of what they see in us. When you are an inner circle Christian, right, your filter is scripture and your connection to God is through prayer and you're loving out loud in service. So your service to God, because it's seen, it screams and shouts who you are in Christ. And because of that, you create an interest and a want for people to want to be a part of what you are involved in. Your outward display of integrity, your outward display of transparency and honesty should frame your openness and sincerity. And you should always be striving to not to hide anything and be upright and straightforward in all circumstances. So our view of people, just as view of people, was one of acceptance, ours should lead us to be loving and receptive to those with whom we differ. Those who are not in the inner circle are those with whom we differ. But we need to see those others through the filter of the Holy Spirit. And when we see people through that lens of the Holy Spirit, we can see them outside of their brokenness. We can recognize that we have to remember that there is a full nature of man, that there is a full nature of man. And we know that because man is fallen and by nature tends to sin, then how do we know how to treat that broken or hurt or discouraged person? As a part of the inner circle, we work to love them as they are. There is a clear answer for this group to that question then. Are you in or are you out? Because with this group, people want to be in. Next, after thinking about that inner circle, now we've got the outer circle, right? In verse 22, it is he who has also put his seal on us, the word says. That is, he has appropriated us and certified us as his and has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, like a security deposit, to guarantee the fulfillment of his promise of eternal life. So the word, brothers and sisters, is telling us here that because God has placed his hand on us, we are certified and accepted as his own. And because we are his through our repentance and acceptance, we receive a guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise of eternal life, right? The word tells us that. And we know that this is also a part of qualifying us as the inner circle. It also, brothers and sisters, specifies those that are considered on the outside of the circle, right? What about them, right? What about them? They have not been appropriated and certified, right? They haven't been given the Holy Spirit. So they don't have that pledge of a security deposit. They haven't had a guarantee for the fulfillment of the promise of eternal life. So what do we do about them? As a part of the inner circle, it is our responsibility to be concerned about those who fall in this space of the outer circle, right? As I said before, they haven't had the seal on them because they haven't accepted Christ in their hearts. They're not certified. They're not guaranteed the promise of eternal life. They don't know and believe who Christ is. So their behavior is worldly, and they are expected to be of the world. We know this. But our work, being in the inner circle, is to bring them to Christ. Our work is to bring the outer circle inside with us so they can be a part of the inner circle. Then there are brothers and sisters who I would describe, and this is a real tricky kind of description, of those that are in what I call an inner-outer circle. Again, an inner-outer circle. These are the members who are certified, right? And this Paul mentions these people in verses 14 and 15, right? We talked about them briefly before, as I mentioned, about false apostles. Right there, we have to be careful about false apostles that develop within the inner circle. These are people who surround the inner circle, and they work to discredit those that have been established and certified and authenticated by God. Right? They are working against what God has established and confirmed, and they will undermine the work of the inner circle that will impact and affect the work that we do with the outer circle. Many times, these members of that inner outer circle carry a negative spirit, a spirit of jealousy or envy that causes confusion and discord, and it affects those that are in the inner circle. And because of this, they work diligently to discredit those that appear to have status and authority in order that they can be lifted themselves, that they can obtain some personal gratification. So in those instances, it is important, because our work is to be able to work and embrace and bring and affect that outer circle and to bring them in, we have to, just like Paul, recognize that spirit and call it out for what it is. Don't give it any acknowledgement. That because you feed you, you will fuel that fire inside of them. Don't acknowledge it. Don't give any kind of energy to those in that inner outer circle, right? We have to recognize that over time, through the Holy Spirit, people will see what they are pretending to be. They are pretending to be a part of the inner circle, and that will be seen. They are just pretending to be true people of Christ. The word tells us in Corinthians that the Corinthians needed to know that these false prophets were only seeking power or monetary gain, that instead of love and service, which all ministers are called to, they exalt themselves. They exalt their own human wisdom and reasoning over godly wisdom because they only seek to have power or to gain notoriety. But we have to remember in dealing with those who are that, what I call that inner outer circle, that godly wisdom is wisdom from above and not earthly wisdom as the flesh man may dictate. False prophets will teach and tell untruths, create a man-made gospel also that is self-serving, right? They'll quote scripture that is self-serving only to them, which makes them ambassadors of Satan and not ambassadors of Christ. So that definitely qualifies them as a part of that outer circle, and that's why I reference them. But our direct answer, so that direct answer to that question that I asked before, are you in or are you out? They are definitely on the out. They are definitely in the out, and we pray for them because we want them to be able to come also into the inner circle. I've spoken about the inner circle, and I've spoken about the outer circle, and so now I'd like to speak about expanding the circle. Verse 23, the word says, "But I call on God as my soul's witness, that it was to spare you pain and discouragement, that I did not come again to Corinth. Not that we rule like dictators over your flesh, but rather we work with you for the increase of your joy. For in your faith you stand firm, in your strong conviction that Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, is the Son of God, through whom we obtain eternal salvation." Now, contrary to what much of the world might believe, Christianity has within its very core the means and resources to counteract the divisive and slippery slope of the natures of the heart. Christianity combats exclusivity, that whole spirit and notion of exclusivity, with the truth of the scripture. And as a result, it works then to expand the circle, the Christian circle, out to the world. If we as Christians believe that everyone is made in the image of God, then we should believe that non-believers are better than their beliefs and admit that we as Christians often fall short of our own. It requires that we need to remember on our part that we should be poor in spirit and to have the understanding that we forgive because we have been forgiven, and we extend grace beyond measure because we have received so much more grace than we deserve. In verse 24, well, 23 and 24, Paul really talks to the people of Corinth to admonish them. But he did not want to come and rule over them. He really wanted to help get them back in line without coming and showing up and being a dictator and pointing out and beating them over the head in something that they did wrong. Because at the very core of Christianity is not about stamping on people and telling them what it is that they've done wrong. At the very core, it's a man. It's about a man who died for his enemies while he prayed also for their forgiveness. So we have to be careful that Too many people set themselves up as a standard in order to beat other people over the head so that they conform, so that they can live by their rules or be corrected, right? And in doing that, you miss the mark, because Jesus Christ is our standard, not man. Jesus Christ is our truth, and it is through him in our faith that we receive eternal life. So how do we work? How do we do that work in expanding the circle, right? Our work in expanding the circle is understanding that our own troubles, that our own trials, that our own tribulations can prepare us in order that we can offer comfort and joy to others. Our stresses, our problems, our challenges, with Christ's help, can create in us an internal and eternal perspective that through him, Christ Jesus, we learn to live with the end in mind. The internal look within ourselves is that the Holy Spirit works in us, and we then are not, we are not leaning in on in our discouragement, but we emphasize what we know about Christ within us. But in also remembering where we've been and where we've come from, we can empathize for or with others, and we can meet them where they are. There's the internal knowledge also that we know that there's an end game, that we know that through Jesus there's everlasting life in him. Those who don't know Christ will have a strong need to receive comfort from others for their current trials and tribulations. We know that God has been and still can be a Christian's comfort for their troubles. And so with this same type of comfort that we receive as Christians and still receive from God, that we too can offer comfort to others who don't know him. Another point that we can do, a thing that we can remember to do as Christians, is that in this expanded circle, as we reach out and offer comfort in order to that they can experience the joy that we have as Christians, in this expanded circle, we can also be a comfort to other believers. Because as Christians, just because we walk in a Christian way does not mean that we are void of troubles and trials and tribulations. Our troubles remind us that God is sovereign. In the life of a believer, we know that God is sovereign. And as believers, we also are able to offer comfort to one another. Just as God has comforted us, we can comfort those who are Christian as well. So inside that expanded circle, this comfort comes in the form of praying for others. It sometimes comes in even telling people, I'm praying for you. Think about how many times have we been comforted when we are struggling, and yet that same person who is offering comfort to you is going through their own difficult circumstance. Think about how much that means to you to hear that someone who is struggling and going through their own trial and tribulation takes the time to reach out to you and say, I'm praying for you. We work, in verse 24, it says, we work to stand firm in our faith in order that we can reaffirm our faith in ourselves and others as well. Paul also wants us as believers to believe God's word and experience it in our lives, right? That's why he wrote, for all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amen to the glory of God. That's what I love about that song, that God's promises are yea and amen. It is a beautiful reminder of who God is to us. And when Paul wrote this, what Paul was telling us is that God's endless love for us is such that his promises will never fail in Christ. And we can rejoice with exceedingly great joy and say amen to the glory of God over and over and over again. No matter how many promises the Lord has made, we have the assurance that not one of those promises will ever fail. God is not a man that he should lie. So, brothers and sisters, as I close, Jesus came to earth, we know, as a substitute. He came to earth as a substitute for the sin of mankind. He fulfilled all that God the Father put into motion so that we could be set free from the curse of sin just by us having faith in him. So it is for this reason that we continually strive to be the upstanding people in his inner circle, right? In order that we can work on the outer circle and bring them all in so that at the end of the day, we can all be a part of the inner circle, that there won't be any outer circle, and that all we will continue to do is to expand that circle out that we are encouraging and comforting one another because we are all in Christ. We are all in him. That would be the day when we could all look around and that everyone around us is considered in the circle. What a day that would be. There would be no big I's and no little U's. Oh, God. What a day that would be that we would all be able to celebrate who we are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you, are you in or are you out? I pray that we never forget that because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, that we are stamped with the authority of God and his promises to us, which are yea and amen to the glory of God forever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God for his word on tonight. Amen. Are you in or are you out? Hallelujah. I want to say we are in out there. We are the inner circle out there in radio land. The Lord has established us and confirmed us. So we just give God the glory and give him the praise and give him the honor. And if there is one out there tonight that is in the outer circle, meaning that you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we want to expand to you tonight.
Yes.
We'll expand to you tonight, this inner circle. Amen.
Amen.
So we just give God the glory and give him the praise and the honor for this woman of God that has brought forth the word on tonight. It is so good to know that we are in the inner circle. And because we are in the inner circle, we already established and we have been confirmed by God, not by man, but by God.
Yes.
And so we just got the glory for that. It's awesome to know that we've been established and confirmed by God. So come on and give Elder Michelle a hand clap of praise tonight for the word. And
yes.
I tell you, and I hope you brought that word on last week, I won't complain. And if things are going on a little upside down, seems to be in your life, just know that God is trying to bring you closer. He's not trying to put you down. He's trying to bring you closer to him. And then she comes with the inner circle, the outer circle, the inner outer circle, and expanding the circle. That means evangelism. It means, it's time for us to evangelize the world. So we are so happy about this word. We want to hear from those of you that are out there tonight. Just press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you live on the air. Surely, Elder Michelle would like to hear from you on tonight. If you press 1 on your phone, we'll bring you live on the air. You just may want to ask a question, or you may ask for prayer, or you just may want to elaborate on the word. I just let her know, you got this. You got this. And so we just give God glory. We give him praise, and we thank you, Elton and Cheryl, for bringing forth this word on tonight. Truly, this is the word for the hour. Amen. It's a word
Amen.
For the people. And if someone hears this word at a later date,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be right on time
right.
for them. Amen. But tonight is right on time for us and those that are listening in on tonight. So we have a group out there tonight listening in to this fantastic word from Elder Michelle Ford. We're just glad to know that God has established us, and we are glad to know that we are not in the outer circle, but we are the inner circle, and we are trying to expand the circle so that others would be in the inner circle as well. God bless. Elder Michelle, we want you to, if you have any last words, you can do that, and then you can pray us out.
Amen. Amen. I'm just grateful that we are able to, those of us that are in the inner circle, that yes, we're able
mm-hmm.
to celebrate, and we are because we do know how privileged we are and who we are in Christ Jesus. But at times in our walk, we forget about those that are around us, that we need to be able to make sure that we expand this circle, that the party just doesn't end with us, you know, that we
right.
need to be able to invite other people to the party. You know?
Right.
And mm-hmm. so it's important that we also recognize that we are God's representatives, and while we are not perfect, we are the perfect people to be able to bring others to Christ and make sure that they
mm-hmm.
understand that you don't have to be a perfect person. You don't have to
That's
do
right.
it all right. You don't have to say it all right, because you know what? God
mm-hmm.
loves you exactly who you are. He knows you're not perfect. He knows everything that you
mm-hmm.
are and who you are about and everything
mm-hmm.
you've done. He knows all that too. He knew it before you did. So you don't need to continually beat up on yourself about who you are, because guess what? The people who are in the
mm-hmm.
inner circle are just as flawed
mm-hmm.
as you are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They are just
yeah.
as beat up and broken and flawed as everyone else. And regardless
mm-hmm.
of titles, regardless of status, that, you
mm-hmm.
know, church folk come along with status and titles, but just because
mm-hmm.
we have that status and title does not mean that we are above being faulty, you know, and so with that, we welcome and we extend and want to be sure that people understand that you too are just as worthy, and
that's
God
right.
wants you to say yes to him, and all you
yes.
have to do is say yes. So we have to remember that, and we also have to remember we need to uplift each other, that this walk is not easy. And being able to encourage and uplift and give comfort, just as the Holy Spirit comforted those in the Bible days and Bible times,
mm-hmm.
we carry that same Holy Spirit that we can comfort and uplift each other as well
mm-hmm.
as
Amen.
We go forward. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so as I close out this evening, we ask Heavenly Father that you look over us, Heavenly Father. You just look over us. Help us to be mindful of our membership in the inner circle, and help us to be mindful of the privileges that we've received, Heavenly Father. Help us to be mindful of the work that we need to do in that extended outer circle and helping to bring those to Christ. Help us, Heavenly Father, to remember that also there are those who work against this work, that we need to be mindful of things that we hear and things that may work against everything that you are setting forward, Heavenly Father, in order to bring others to you. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for that expanded work. We thank you that you infuse us, Lord, with what we need in order that we can expand the circle, that we can show Christ to all, that we can show who he is, to comfort through the comfort to them, through helping them to walk through what it is that they may be experiencing, but helping them to understand that there is joy in you, Heavenly Father. We know, Heavenly Father, that your promises have been validated through Christ. Help us to exhibit and show that all they have to do is know you, Lord. All they have to do is know you, and that your promises will be yea and amen for the glory, for all your glory. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you for your word, God, which is always a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and the testimony of your great love for us, God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for it all. And we give you glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. So we want you to tell your neighbors, tell your friends, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to return the live broadcast with Pastor Stephen Ann Butterfield.
Have a great night.